Please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. Luke, chapter 8, and our passage this morning will be from verse 4 through verse 15, the parable of the sower. And I'll read beginning at verse 4. And when a great multitude were coming together, and those from various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. And other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. And other seed fell into the good soil, and it grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. And he said these things. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples began questioning him as to what this parable might be. And he said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, in order that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. And those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they might not believe and be saved. And those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. And the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. And the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast, and bear fruit with perseverance." We often read in the Gospels of great multitudes coming to hear the word of God from the Lord Jesus. And this is what Luke tells us took place. In verse 4, on this occasion, as Jesus was going through the cities of Israel and he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, this great multitude gathered to him from the surrounding cities, and it was the beginning of a mighty popular movement. But at this time in Jesus' ministry, and then throughout the rest of his ministry, Jesus began to speak in parables. That's what Luke tells us in verse 4. And when a great multitude were coming together, and those from various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. And the first parable that Jesus spoke, and the one that is recorded in Matthew and Mark and Luke as well, is the parable of the sower and the seed. In a parable, Jesus uses physical realities to teach spiritual lessons. He speaks of earthly things which are common and known and can be seen by all men to teach us of spiritual and invisible things. The parable of the sower and the seed is perhaps the most important of all of Jesus' parables, because the things that he speaks of here are always taking place in every congregation wherever the word of God is being preached. The sower is the preacher, the seed is the word, and the four soils upon which the seed falls are the four kinds of hearts, and every person who ever hears the word of God is one of these four hearts. How we hear the word is of the greatest possible consequences to us, because Jesus here speaks of salvation. And how we hear the word determines our eternal state and whether we are headed to heaven or headed into hell. No one can say this parable has nothing to do with me. No one can say I have no need to hear this, because it concerns every one of us here this morning. And in this parable, every one of our hearts is revealed in one place or another. The ancient prophet Nathan came to King David and said to David, "Thou art the man." And this parable comes to each one of us this morning in one way or another and says the same thing to us: "Thou art the man." The parable is a warning to preachers not to expect too much from their sermons. But the parable is much more a warning to those who hear the word, how they listen to it. There must not only be good preaching in the church, there must be good hearing as well. And that's how Jesus intended this parable. On this occasion, it was a warning to the great multitude that was following him. Because Jesus knew their hearts, that many of them came to be healed. Many came to see a miraculous sign. Others came out of curiosity. But so few came to be true disciples of Jesus and know him and follow him. Imagine the scene. The great multitude gathers before Jesus, and Jesus preaches to them this parable to warn them of how they hear his words. Jesus begins the parable in verses 5 through 8, and he speaks of the sower who went out with his bag of seed to sow the seed, and he sowed indiscriminately and freely. He tossed his seed about, and it fell on four different kinds of soil. And the first was beside the road, as he tells us in the beginning of verse 5. He says, "The sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell beside the road. And as it fell upon the hard ground beside the road, it was most certainly destroyed and came to nothing." And he tells us in two ways in which this happened. It was trampled underfoot. In other words, it was crushed by those who walked along the side of the road. And then the second way in which it was destroyed is the birds of the air ate it up. The birds would have disappeared quickly when the sower came at first. But then after the sower sowed his seed and he was gone, then the birds would quickly reappear and they would begin to snatch up the seed that was sown by the roadside. The second type of ground on which the seed was cast was the rocky soil in verse 6. "And other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture." And so here the seed falls on a place where there is only a very thin sprinkling of soil on top of rocky soil underneath. And because the soil was so thin, the moisture in the soil quickly dried up as soon as the sun arose, and any young plant that appeared and sprouted up, it would immediately wither away for lack of water. The other seed fell on the rocky soil. As soon as it grew up, it did grow up a little bit, but it withered away because it had no moisture. And then a third kind of soil is what is called thorny ground soil. And here in verse 8 or verse 7, Jesus said, "Another seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Here the soil was deeper and thicker and richer. And so the seed that fell upon this soil, it had time to germinate, and it sprouted, and a plant began to send its roots down into the soft, moist earth, and even sprout upward with some stalks and some leaves. Everything seemed well at first, but even this did not guarantee a rich harvest of true fruit in the end, because there were other rival plants that were more powerful in the same soil. They were thorns that grew up beside the young plants. And these thorns were of all different kinds. They were weeds that vary in different countries and climates, and they infest the soil, and they eventually ruin the harvest. The thorns grow up next to the young plant. And these thorns, they draw up the moisture and the nutrients from the soil. And their branches and their leaves above hide the sunshine from the young plants. And so whether they perish from lack of nutrients and moisture below, or whether the young plants perish because of lack of sunshine above, everything seems to go well in the springtime. But everything is choked out by the thorns by the fall. And there is no good fruit. This is what Jesus warns us. Verse 7, other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. The first three soils upon which the seed falls are all unfruitful. In the first, beside the road, it is quickly destroyed and taken away by the birds. It does not even spring up at all. In the second, the seed falls upon the rocky soil. It springs up very quickly, but then it dies quickly as well before it even has a chance to grow. And then the third soil is the seed that falls among the thorns, and it grows up, but it never ripens to produce a real fruit because it is choked out by the surrounding thorns. There is only one soil which is good and fertile soil, free from these dangers, and which produces a true harvest. And it is the good soil of verse 8. And other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. Here the seed falls into the good soil, and the seed germinates. And it puts down its roots deep into the soft soil, and there is plenty of moisture and nutrients. And the sun shines freely from above upon its leaves, and it grows, and it prospers, and it bears much fruit. Four different kinds of soil. Only one has true and lasting fruit. In verse 9, Jesus' disciples begin questioning him as to what the parable might mean. Mark tells us in his gospel that Jesus took the 12 disciples alone by himself, and it was there that they asked him about the parable. So the interpretation that Jesus gives in the following verses was not given publicly to all the multitude. It was only given to the 12 disciples. In verse 10, Jesus says, "To you, it has been granted, to you as my disciples, it has been granted as a gift to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, in order that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." In other words, to the true disciples of Jesus, it was given to them, granted to them as a gift, to have their minds opened by the Holy Spirit so that they would understand the spiritual meaning of his parables. And they would know the mysteries and the deep things of the kingdom of God. But to the rest of the multitude, They could only understand the literal meaning. They were excluded from the spiritual meaning of Jesus preaching. At this point in Jesus' ministry, he began to preach more frequently in parables. And it was a kind of judgment upon the multitudes because they had been hearing him for a long time. And they were never really seeking after him with any sincere desires to be his disciples. So from now on, Jesus often spoke to them in these interesting and striking parables. But the truth was concealed from them, and it was only given to his disciples at the proper time. Seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not hear. It may well be that many of these people at this time who heard and did not understand, some of them, we hope, their minds were opened and they did understand on the day of Pentecost when they came to understand the true meaning of who Christ is. Jesus goes on to interpret the parable to his disciples in verse 11. He says, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God." And then Jesus goes on in the following verses to explain the four different types of soil as the different hearts of men and women as they hear the word. But in verse 11, when he says, "The seed is the word of God." The word of God is not just words upon a page in a book. The word of God is really Jesus. Or we could say the word contains Jesus. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We may think of our Bibles in this way as a husk. And the husk contains the seed, and the seed is Jesus, the word of God. Or we may think of our Bibles in this way. Our Bibles are like the claws, the swaddling claws that held Jesus in the manger. And in the gospel contains the Lord Jesus. So that the word of God and Jesus are not two separate things. In other words, how one responds to the word is really how one responds to Jesus. Because the word contains Jesus. Jesus explains first the roadside hearer in verse 12. And those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Just like that seed that fell upon the hard surface beside the road, and the seed just lie on the surface and made no penetration. Before there was any germination of the seed, it was easily picked up and taken away by the birds. So is the word that falls upon the hearts, the hard hearts of men. It only lies on the surface. It is only heard with the ears outwardly. It never makes any penetration down into the heart. It never brings repentance and true sorrow over sin. And the end result is that the devil comes quickly and snatches away the word before it can make any lasting and saving impression. This man or woman that Jesus speaks of here is not necessarily an outwardly immoral or scandalous person. The very opposite may be true. This person may be outwardly good in the sight of all men, But when he hears the word of God, it means nothing to him. He has no real interest in it, and it has no effect upon him. He may hear the great promises of the gospel. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He may hear the words of Jesus, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink the waters of eternal life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Or he may hear the most terrible threatenings of the word. He who does not obey the Son does not have life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for the covetous and the sensual, the wrath of God is upon them. Whether one hears the words of the promises or the threatenings of the word, it makes no difference to this man. He walks away, and he has no real concern over his soul. We notice Jesus tells us in the middle of verse 12 that the devil comes. The devil comes and takes away the word. In other words, the powers of darkness are always at work. It is guaranteed wherever the word is preached. The devil is the father of lies. He is the great murderer of souls. He is always present and he is always at work in the world. But there is no place where he is more active. There is no place where he exerts his powers of darkness more than in a place where the gospel is being preached. Always watching, always looking upon the hearts of the hearers, and rushing forth to take the word from their hearts before it has any saving influence. Who is it that brings wandering thoughts into the minds of the hearers in the church? Who is it that brings about distracted attention and sleepy eyes and weary minds as they hear the words of eternal life? You may wonder why sometimes a man who would never be sleepy in a meeting at work or in a business meeting, yet he has droopy eyes and sleepy mind in the church. Where does that come from? Some people will miss church for any reason at all. The devil will never be absent from church. Let me read to you what I thought was an appropriate quote from J.C. Ryle on a cold, snowy morning in Rochester. This is what J.C. Ryle says. He says, "Heat and cold, and droughts and damp, and wet, and rain, and snow are often dreaded by churchgoers and alleged as reasons for not going to church. But there is an enemy whom they ought to fear more than all these things, and that enemy is Satan." We notice Jesus says in verse 12 that the devil comes and takes away the word. He takes it away from the heart. Which means that the word does not mean that the word actually enters into the heart, because it really only lies on the surface, as we said. But what Jesus means is that the word never loses its nature as the living, powerful, and true word of God. In other words, even the roadside hearer, even the unbeliever, when he hears the word of God, he still recognizes that there is truth in the word. The Word of God is always living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is always piercing into the division of the soul and the spirit and revealing the thoughts and intentions of one's heart. So even when it is heard by the roadside hearers, the Word never loses its nature as the truth and the living and abiding Word of God. Jesus says at the end of verse 12 that the devil comes and snatches away the word so that they may not believe and be saved. That was the whole purpose of the Word of God being preached, is that it was the means of salvation and it was the means of bringing men and women to Christ, even though it did not have this good effect in the roadside hearer. The Roman governor Felix in the book of Acts, he was really a roadside hearer. Paul came to Felix and preached to him righteousness, just self-control, and judgment to come. And Felix became frightened and he trembled. He knew that the word was true. He was alarmed, but not enough to believe. He knew there was a door of mercy open for him, but he did not enter. And he was afraid that it would suddenly be shut on him. They hear the word, the devil comes quickly and snatches it away so that they may not believe. Then we find the second type of hearer, the rocky ground hearer in verse 13. And those on the rocky soil are the ones who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, they fall away. In other words, they have an initial positive response to the word. They hear the gospel, and the gospel is good news of the forgiveness of sins and eternal life and salvation and peace with God. And they hear this good news, and they receive the good news with joy. Their first response is commendable, and they seem to have some zeal and love for a time. But it is only an emotional excitement, a superficial enthusiasm. It is not a true conversion. As Jesus says, these have no firm root, because the seed has never entered deeply into their hearts, the thin layer upon the surface of their rocky hearts. It only enters there. The rocky ground underneath, it is never broken up. So the word never enters deeply and transforms and changes the life. Whatever positive response they had, it was only temporary, only for a little while. And then as time passed and they had to continue in life, in the daily and practical struggles of life, the good influence of the word vanished away from them. And they fell away. A most frightening thing. Truly a most frightening thing, because Jesus calls it here. He tells us there is such a thing as a temporary faith. They believe. They seem to believe. They look like they believe, but they only believe for a while. The green plant sprouts up. It seems to have promise of fruit at first. But the heart is not completely subdued to Jesus to produce any lasting fruit. The outward profession comes to an end, as Jesus says, in times of temptation. When the temptations of the world around us come upon us, when the troubles of life surround us and the trials of God's providence in our lives, when there are afflictions and persecutions because of the word, when these temptations come, they eventually fall away. It is only those who endure to the end who will be saved, and those who endure only for a while will perish. Jesus put it this way in Matthew's gospel in this parable. He said, "These have no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately it falls away." He falls away. It is not that the rocky soil was insincere. It was not that he intentionally tried to deceive anyone. What he experienced, he actually believed. And his experience was, to himself, real. He really believed he was forgiven and right with God, and he had joy over it. But the work was not thorough, and it did not penetrate into his entire heart, so he had no firm root, and he withered away. The young rich ruler is an example of the rocky ground soil. He came to Jesus, said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He seemed so sincere. Everything seemed to be going on a good path. Here comes a man to Jesus, calling him the good teacher, asking him, "What must I do to have eternal life?" But when Jesus began to tell him about the demands of the gospel and what it would cost him, and what it would be to carry his cross, the man, with grief and sorrow, turned away and left Jesus. The third type of hearer is found in verse 14. "And the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity." These are better than the roadside hearers and even than the rocky ground hearers, because the word of God takes some root. It takes some root, and it has some influence on their souls. But their loyalty to Christ is not the supreme and highest loyalty of their life. They have other loyalties. They have other loyalties which are stronger and more powerful than their loyalty to Jesus. And these other loyalties cannot be kept down. Eventually they rise up and they take away the heart from Jesus. And they choke out the spiritual life. The thorns here are any useless weed which finds a place in our hearts and harms the growing crop. Jesus mentions three of them. They are all love of the things of this world. At the end of verse 14, he says that the seed is choked out with the worries and riches and pleasures of this life. All three of them involve the love of money and the things that money can buy. The worries of life. The worries of life. These are the snares that come upon the poor man because he thinks he has not enough. The riches of life. These are the snares that come upon the rich man who has much. Very different from one another. But under the right circumstances, they are both deadly thorns that grow up in the heart. So the danger that Jesus speaks of here is to the poor man, and it is to the rich man as well. And the pleasures of this life are the pleasures which riches can buy. So Jesus embraces in these terms all the things of this world, whatever they might be. The desires of the heart. One wants more money and a newer car and a bigger house and more fun and more entertainment and better vacations and more travel and whatever other pleasures the world may offer. The lusts of the flesh and the lusts of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, they are all included under these terms, the worries and the riches and the pleasures of this life. The things of life mentioned here are often innocent in themselves. It is right to have some care over earthly things. It is not wrong to have money. And we may enjoy some of the pleasures of this life. But when these things are loved and they are indulged in excessively, so that one begins to violate the truth of God's word that he knows, then they become the noxious weeds that choke out the word. One man writes, "Money is a useful slave, but it is a hard master." People deceive themselves here because they think they can allow some of these things to exist in their hearts and cause no harm. They say to themselves, "I may love the riches, the pleasures of this life over here in this area of my life and my heart, and I will be able to maintain my spiritual life with Christ and bear good fruit over here in this part of my life and my heart." But they deceive themselves because they are thinking that two masters can coexist in their hearts at the same time. And Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters." No man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and riches at the same time. The thorns here of worries and riches and pleasures, they are native. They are native to our hearts. They are there from birth. They are there as part of our sinful nature that is passed on to us. The seed of the word, it must be sown. It must be sown into our hearts. But the thorns are natural. And they need no care. And they need no nurturing to grow. They gain strength and power by themselves. But the seed is foreign. And it is delicate. And it needs constant care and protection. And the things of the world that are mentioned here, they are never content with whatever place one gives them in his heart. They always want more. They always spread and grow. And eventually they take over the affections of the heart that should only belong to Jesus. The process does not happen in a day. It is slow, it is gradual, it is bit by bit. But by the imperceptible growth of these thorns, they drain out the sap and the moisture of one's soul. They cover him over from the sunshine of Christ until eventually one finds himself consumed in these things and in a place they would have never thought imaginable. Matthew's account of this parable, Jesus calls these the deceitfulness of riches, because riches deceive. The pleasures of life, the riches of this world, one thing we can always be sure of, they will deceive us. Go after them. Chase them down. Gather as much as you possibly can, and what you will find is you've been deceived in the end. They promise you happiness, they will never deliver it to you. And you will spend your time, your effort, your strength to gain more of the things and the pleasures of this world. And in the end, you will find yourself with nothing more than the deceitfulness of riches. The weeds of the love of the world and its things must have no place in our hearts. That's the great danger. They are all around us in this world. They are in us by nature. But we can have no peace with them, and they must be put to death. That's why Paul says, by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the flesh. And Paul says, those who are in Christ Jesus, they have crucified the flesh. They have crucified it with its passions and its desires. They bear no good fruit, no lasting permanent fruit. Jesus puts it this way at the end of verse 14. They bring no fruit to maturity. They bring no fruit to maturity. In other words, they have something that can be called fruit. They have something that appears to be fruit. But it is not good and lasting and holy fruit. And it never comes to the full maturity and the end for which God intended it. It seems to be real, but as time passes, the worries and the riches and the pleasures of this life choke out all the nutrients underneath, and the plant is withered, and it does not come to the fruit of maturity. The great husbandman, when he comes looking upon his people, which he does from time to time, what is he looking for? He is looking for mature fruit. So we've crossed over some rather dreary ground. The roadside hearers, the rocky ground hearers, and the thorny ground hearers. Dreary ground, but that's the purpose of the parable, to give us a warning of the dangers in hearing God's word. Finally, now we can see that there is good soil, and it is the last soil that Jesus speaks of in verse 15. And the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Thanks be to God that there is some good seed that falls upon good soil and bears the good fruit. Jesus calls the good soil here an honest and a good heart. It is not so by nature, but only by grace. All of us by nature, we have those hearts mentioned in the previous verses. We are all born with the hard and rocky hearts, and we love the thorns of this world. Only Jesus can take those hearts and transform them into an honest and good heart by the Holy Spirit, so that they can receive the word of God. This is what happened to Lydia when she was down by the river, and Paul came and began to speak the gospel to her. We read this, that the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. The Lord broke up the hard heart of Lydia, and she was able to receive the word of God deeply. The same thing happened with the Jewish multitude on the day of Pentecost. They were so filled with prejudice against Christ. But when they heard the word, the hard and rocky hearts were plowed up, and they cried out, "Brethren, what must we do to be saved?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The Philippian jailer, he was overcome with fear at the great earthquake, and all Paul had to say to him was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved." That's all he had to say. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved. His heart was opened. The Lord had softened him and broken up that hard and rocky ground. And all he needed to hear was that simple word of the gospel. Jesus says in verse 15 that when men hear it in an honest and good heart, they hold it fast. And they do so with perseverance. He means that they do not give it up. When trials, temptations, afflictions, persecutions come, they do not turn away. They hold fast. When the allurements and the pleasures and the worries of life, when the riches of life come to tempt them, they do not turn aside from it. They hold fast. They experience all of the temptations of the previous verses. But when these temptations come upon these, they hold fast to the word with perseverance. That means they hold it in the face of opposition. There is conflict here. There is struggle. There are battles and there are wars that must be fought. But these, with a good and honest heart, are able to endure them and pass through them. Trials that come upon us do not change our hearts. Trials only reveal what we really are. And those who have a good and honest heart, and only those, are able to persevere through those trials of life and bear good fruit. Four different types of soil, four different effects of the word. Only the last bears the good fruit, and it is only done in a good heart by holding fast the word with perseverance. The first type of heart, the roadside hearer, he's known quickly because he hears the word and it makes no impression upon him and he walks away completely careless and indifferent. The first one is easily known. But there are times when the other three appear to be the same. The rocky ground hearer and the thorny ground hearer, for a time they seem to be the same as the good and honest hearer. There seems to be no distinction between them. Only time and trials and troubles will prove the difference. When temptations and afflictions arise, when worries and riches and the pleasures of life come, then they show themselves for who they truly are. There can be no presumption in the Christian life that we are in, verse 14, ourselves. There can be assurance of salvation, but only when we bear the good fruit continually. Only when we are holding fast to the word and abiding in it with perseverance through all the struggles and trials of life, only then can we have assurance. There is assurance of salvation, but there is no presumption. And if we ever slip back to the rocky ground here, to the stony ground here, to the thorny ground here, if we ever slip back, then we only prove ourselves to be what we always were. There is a time. There are times in which all of these appear to the eyes of men to be the same with no distinction. So the question is, how may I know with confidence that I am a good soil hearer? And how may I know that I am safely on my way to eternal life? How may I know these things? The only answer is by continuing to hold fast to the word of God and to bear the good fruit of an obedient Christian life. By continuing in repentance and faith in Jesus, with perseverance all the way. Any fruit tree, it needs the good soil, the moisture, the nutrients from the soil. It needs the sunshine shining down on it from above. And the same thing is true for every Christian. We need the nutrients. We need the moisture of the good soil. We need the sunshine from above. We need the nutrients of the Word of God always continually coming into our hearts. And we need the sunshine of the love of God and the love of Christ and the graces of the Holy Spirit continually and the waters of the Spirit dropping down upon us in the Christian life. We must keep ourselves in the grace of Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I speak here of our daily reading of the Word and our meditation on the Word and the secret place of prayer, daily going to the Lord in prayer. I speak here of the worship and the fellowship of one's church and the proper use of the Lord's Day as a day of refreshing grace and sunshine and gentle rains from heaven to produce growth in us. No plant can produce growth without these things. No Christian can persevere and bear fruit without these things. If someone were to ask, when can I be free from this concern of continually slipping back into the rocky soil or the thorny ground soil and all these things from the world, the answer is never in this life. Never in this life. Only when you die and go to heaven are you free from the dangers of this parable. In this life, we are always in danger. In this life, we must always be looking to Jesus in all of these ways and these means of grace. Let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. The rule of this life is this, that the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are in opposition to one another. And that's the rule of all of life to the very end. James said, do not be mere hearers who delude themselves, but prove yourselves to be doers of the word. Peter put it this way, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, he said, beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage their war against the soul. The things of the world are always waging war against us. Abstain from them, Peter says. A life of self-denial, a life of sacrifice, willing and cheerful sacrifice to the great Savior who has loved us and suffered more and sacrificed more than we could ever sacrifice in this life. John Calvin writes this, he says, each of us ought to endeavor to tear the thorns out of his own heart, lest the word of God should be choked. For there is not one of us whose heart is not filled with a vast quantity, and as I might say, a thick forest of thorns. That's a right view of our hearts, even as Christians. Calvin says there's not one of us, as professing Christians, that do not have in our hearts a thick forest of thorns. And so we are always in need of holding fast to the word and perseverance from a good heart with grace. So as we close this morning, the great question for each one of us here today is, which of these four soils is your heart? all of us are found in this parable. There is not anyone here to whom this parable does not speak. And we must answer the question with total honesty, because our answer to that question will tell us where we are headed for our eternal destiny. The careless roadside hearer, he has no regard for the word. The rocky ground hearer, he hears, but he rejects the word. And under temptation and affliction, he falls away. The thorny ground hearer is consumed with the love of the things of this world, and they all perish in the end. And they will hear, every one of them will hear those most awful words of Jesus, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Only the one who has heard the word in an honest and good heart and has borne fruit with perseverance, only he will be saved. There are four ways to hear the word. Only one of them ends in salvation. On the last day, Jesus will come, and he'll be looking for the good fruit of every one of our lives. That's what he's looking for. And the question is, what will he find in each one of us? You may avoid the question today. You may deceive yourself with a false answer as to who you really are. But you will not deceive yourself when the great day comes. You may be a churchgoer. You may hear the word in the church. And the great danger of the parable is that you may hear it all of your lives and perish in the end. Because the word never came to you with power to change your inner heart and bring you to a complete allegiance to Jesus above all other things. But if you find yourself in one of the three soils that perishes, the roadside hearer, the rocky ground, and the thorny ground hearer, if you find yourself among one of those, there is still hope for you, and it is certain and it is sure hope, because you can still come today to the Lord Jesus and be saved. Today is the day of salvation, and you must go to him and tell him all of your sins. Tell him, "Lord Jesus, my heart is so hard. My heart is so hard, like that rocky ground, and the word does not penetrate me. I hear the word, and then I leave, and I do my own will, and I care nothing for it. Lord Jesus, I bring my rocky heart to you, and have mercy upon me, and change me, and make me new." Or you may come to Jesus with your thorns, your worries of life, your riches, your desire for these things, and all your pleasures of this life, and say, "Lord Jesus, these thorns have grown in my evil heart, and they have taken over, and they have choked out the word, so that the word really has no fruit in my soul. Lord Jesus, come and rescue me and save me and give me that honest and good heart, that new heart that I might bear good fruit. And I might love you and love your word and love your ways above all other things in this life. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If anyone is thirsty, let him come and drink from the waters of eternal life. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, have mercy upon all of us here today. Every one of us falls into one of the classes of this parable of the different soils. Every one of us, we answer before you this morning from our own hearts, and we know the truth about ourselves. Have mercy upon us and help us and change us, we pray. Look upon us with grace, give us new hearts, and put your word in us that we may love you and follow you and obey you in all of life. O Lord, have mercy upon us now and bless the gospel to us in Jesus' name. Amen.